Welcome again to the Visit Julian Blog Talk Radio Interviews. Today is a bit different because I'm actually interviewing someone from an organization as opposed to a business. And that organization is the Julian Dark Sky Network. And we're talking with Lynn Jarman, and she's been, from what I understand, a real driving force behind the Julian Dark Sky Network and some of their great accomplishments. So first, I guess we'll introduce you. Lynn, welcome to.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming and talking about Dark Sky. So talk a little bit about the organization and what it does, and then I'll ask some questions that I have and that hopefully other people will be interested in hearing too.
Okay. Julian Dark Sky Network was founded about 6 years ago by a number of amateur astronomers, most of whom were up here in Julian. And the founder really and the driving force behind Julian Dark Sky Network is Doug Solacy. He also runs the Curiosity Peak Observatory, which is another place that we can go and observe the dark skies. This group was intended to help protect and educate people about the importance of the beautiful starry night that we have up here in Julian, because it's very easy to lose and very important to preserve, as we'll talk about, for a number of different reasons.
Yeah.
So the organization was created to do things like dark sky monitoring, which is important to determine whether there's any light pollution coming from other areas, or goodness, hopefully not us. And educate people, and we have had just the most remarkable response from everyone who's come in contact with our activities, our mission, and just the idea of preserving the beautiful night sky in Julia.
Yeah. Sort of cliche speaking is when you watch television or even documentaries and people who live in the city all of a sudden go out, say on a camping trip or what have you, and they're always taken in by the dark sky and the stars. And I think I even saw some show recently, it was a documentary where someone had been in the city their entire life, and when they saw the stars, literally had no idea that that kind of sky existed. They grew up in light pollution and just didn't even know, had no concept of a starry sky. And
exactly.
It was kind of amazing to see that person realize what's out there. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was one of those people, actually. I came up to Julian. I've been coming here for many years, but I came with my husband in 97, and we were visiting with friends who had a cabin up in Pine Hills. And at night, they took us out for a little walk, which in and of itself was scary enough for a city girl. I mean, I spent most of my life in San Diego, and where you could see almost nothing, by the way, in the dark sky. And we went outside. We walked on dark country roads, which I was scared about.
Coyotes in the background.
And we sat on the road because no one was driving there. And our friend said, "Look up." And I looked up, and I said, "What is that?"
Yeah.
I was 48 years old.
Yeah.
And my husband said, "That is the Milky Way. I had never seen it as an adult looking at it. And it is mind-blowing when
you see it
for the first time.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I've learned a lot about, not astronomy, because I'm not an astronomer, but I've learned a lot about, you know, not only the beauty of the dark sky, but the significance of it and its impact on all of us, on animals and everything else. So it's not only a beautiful event to participate, for example, in a star party. And by the way, Borrego Springs is having one on January 29th, right down the hill. But also to appreciate the impact that it has on all of the living beings.
Right, the rhythms and things like that, for sure. Mm-hmm. And Lynn just mentioned a star party that's coming up in Borrego. And for those of you who are listening prior to January 29th, 2022, I'll put a link to the information on that in the show description.
Good.
So
I would just like to add that Julian is an international dark sky community.
Exactly.
It's only the second in the state of California and the 30th in the entire world, our tiny little town. The first one in California was Borrego Springs.
Our neighbors.
So Borrego Springs Dark Sky Coalition has really kind of shown us the way on how to get things done, how to engage the community, how to improve the lighting, whether it's business or residential. and to show us how a cohesive group of determined people can really make an impact. And we have always been inspired by them, and they've been a wonderful help. I hope we've been of help to them too.
That's great. So can you maybe say a little bit about what is required to be a Dark Sky community officially designated?
Sure.
Who does it? And what kind of process?
It's a group called the International Dark Sky Association. They are centered in Tucson, and they process all the applications, excuse me, and award these designations. We are a dark sky community. There are also dark sky parks. So when I spoke about Borrego Springs a moment ago, they were the first international dark sky community in California. We're the second. But they are also adjacent to the Anza Borrego State Park, mm-hmm. which at 600,000 acres is the largest state park in the state of California, maybe much larger than that. And they are an international dark sky park. So that's the second designation. There are also international dark sky places. Mm-hmm. And they are licensed by the International Dark Sky Association all over the world. And the tempo of communities stepping up to want to become a dark sky community or a place or a park has become enormous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really expanded exponentially. I think the International Dark Sky Association was just founded maybe 20 or 30 years ago, and they have become extremely busy trying to assist communities all mm-hmm. over the world to become international dark sky places or communities or parks.
It's because I think people are realizing the benefit of beauty, and the last couple of interviews that I've had have actually been a lot about positive feelings and positive energy and things like that. So in some ways it fits with this category as well, that I know for myself how much I love the dark sky and how much I appreciate it. So people are realizing the importance of adding or taking advantage of or not destroying beautiful things that are part of this world that we live in. So that is probably somewhat why they're getting a little bit busier.
Yeah, they're much busier. And I think, you know, people come to Julian to experience not just our very entertaining mm-hmm. Local ambiance, mm-hmm. but they also come to hike, they come to camp, they come to experience the incredible beauty of mm-hmm. our nature. Mm-hmm. Julian Dark Sky Network was one of the founding partners of the Wonderfest, mm-hmm. the Julian Natural Wonderfest, which explores all of the different areas, mm-hmm. excuse me, of animals, preservation, mm-hmm. environmentalism, mm-hmm. light pollution, right. and enjoying the dark sky. Yeah. So absolutely it's a feel-good thing, mm-hmm. and it's an important thing not only for the feel-good and the beauty, the aesthetic part of it, but for our health. Mm-hmm. I mean, overly lit environments are dangerous for human health. Mm-hmm. They are dangerous for our animals and our wildlife. Mm-hmm. They reset our circadian rhythms, mm-hmm. causing all kinds of physical problems. And in terms of wildlife, just one small example, our major pollinator of agriculture is not bees, it's moths.
Really?
Yes, 60% of all the pollinators in at least our area, maybe in the United States, are moths. And you know what happens to moths when you leave lights on at night.
Right.
They dive bomb and die. Mm-hmm. And
they get trapped in the light.
They get trapped, mm-hmm. they get lost, mm-hmm. And they get confused, and they don't do their job, which affects all of us as well as them in a really intimate way, like having enough food to eat and things like that.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's so nice to learn something new and then to put the whole perspective of the annoying moth around your front door, you know, that it's
moth
isn't happy about it either,
yeah.
you know,
because they die,
yeah,
and they get confused and lost.
Yeah,
if you I wanted to promote for a moment a book that we promote. It's called The End of Night, and it's written by Paul Bogard. It is available online, and we also have copies at juliandarksky.com. And what it talks about is light pollution and the search for natural darkness, mm-hmm. because that's our state of being as humanoids. Mm-hmm. Natural darkness mm-hmm. is the way our bodies regulate, the way we sleep, the way we heal, the way mm-hmm. we have energy during the course of a day. Everyone knows having a couple of nights of really bad sleep, or those lights shining in your bedroom window from the store across the street or whomever, is going to disturb our whole rhythm in
sure.
life.
Yeah.
So End of Night talks about how we go about recognizing light pollution, understanding what it does to us as humans and to our wildlife, which is a dramatic impact mm-hmm. as well, and what we can do to make it better. One of the things I have found and experienced myself, I come from a city. I mm-hmm. moved up to Julian and I had lights outside. I had everything because I was nervous. I can't see where to walk. I'm older. I was afraid of, all the animals that mm-hmm. live up here. And one by one, we got rid of almost all of the outside lighting mm-hmm. because we realized that does not promote the safety that I was looking for mm-hmm. coming from a big city. What it does is it obscures your vision, so you really can't see if there are bad things
sure.
out there because mm-hmm. it's overlit. And that's something that Paul Bogard talks about in The End of Night. He also does a TED Talk, which is spectacularly good. It's only 16 minutes or something, mm-hmm. and I can't remember what exactly.
You know what, I will find the link to that TED Talk and put it in the show description.
It's excellent, it really is.
All right.
And, it just drives home in an interesting and fun way what surrounds us in our universe, mm-hmm. how we react to it, and what things we can do to make it more pleasant and safer for all of us, health-wise as well as safety-wise. So I get it when people come up here and overlight, from the city and mm-hmm. overlight their property because they're anxious, they can't see, everything. Just
it's unfamiliar.
Yeah, it's uneven.
Uneven.
It's like you get older, you think, oh my God, I'm going to break my head. But, there are ways to do that safely. We don't have to live in complete darkness. We have to aim and make a goal of proper lighting. Mm. Nobody's saying you have to turn off all of your
lights. It's just non-invasive lighting.
Non-invasive, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So that it certainly doesn't flare up into the sky. That's mm-hmm. the first thing. It's not economical. It's a waste of energy, and all it does is pollute the sky. Even lateral light will do that. So it has to be kind of conically directed more
downward.
But that's good for your
walking, yeah.
for your footing,
yeah.
for seeing the kinds of things that you take the dog out at night. You need
right.
to see around where you're going, and that's all fine. Mm-hmm. There are also major improvements we can make by the color of the light mm-hmm. that we're using. Part of the application, the hardest part of the application to the International Dark Sky Association, was changing the lighting ordinance mm-hmm. for the County of San Diego. That was a huge undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, not only do we have great support in our community, we have great support from people who come up the hill from,
mm-hmm.
The flatlands
right.
in order to enjoy our beautiful nature and
mm-hmm.
dark sky. And we have experts within our group who are either engineers or lighting professionals, scientists, who could not only help create this amazing ordinance, because San Diego County changed its entire lighting ordinance, in no small part because we were pushing them.
Yeah, diligent.
And diligent mm-hmm. to help us provide an ordinance that would more carefully preserve
sure.
our dark skies. And once we passed that threshold, and it took, I would say, 3 years.
Wow.
Once we did that, and the county, to their credit, hired a private consulting firm that were lighting specialists
mm-hmm.
who really knew what they were doing, and
mm-hmm.
we could work with them. Once that was done, and it was adopted by the Board of Supervisors in October of 2020,
mm-hmm.
We had our entire application prepared. All we needed was that ordinance.
One ordinance.
And as soon as we had it, early November, we sent our 114-page application.
Oh my gosh.
And that included not only the new ordinance, which is preserving the dark sky, but also all of the things that Julian Dark Sky Network and the community had done in order to educate people and inform people in a fun way. Mm-hmm. So we are known for our beautiful nighttime star parties that we put on. We had at Wonderfest, we had 800 people
on
the field at Just Martin Park.
In the dark.
In the dark, right? In the dark. We had about 20 astronomers out there with their, not only the binoculars, which are very good for night sky viewing, but also telescopes, and they would talk to anybody. You could come up, and lots of children who were so excited about being able to see what goes on in the night sky.
And that in itself is super important. When you raise or expose kids to those kinds of possibilities, you light a proverbial fire in them to remember and to honor it and to make a change that is sustainable.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And to encourage them to participate.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't think of a single person I know who can come out on a beautiful dark night in Julian, California, and look up at that sky and say, oh, that's nice. I mean, it just doesn't happen. You can hear them all over the field at Just Martin, for example, like, ooh, look at that. Because it is truly a remarkable thing. And we're just a teeny part of it.
I know, we're just like a little speck, right?
Right.
For me, I'll just share that during the summer, I live in the high desert section of Julian. My husband and I will sleep out on the deck and for several nights, as long as our backs will take it. We take the mattresses out of our camper and put them on the deck. And it's things you know, but you don't pay attention to. I see the Milky Way. And when I lay down on the deck, it's on my left. And because I'm on the deck and I'm old and it's uncomfortable, I wake up several a time throughout the night and I watch the Milky Way move. And it is the coolest thing because it's on my left. And by the time, I don't know, I don't want to pick a time because it's, who knows, but let's just say 3 o'clock in the morning, now it's on my right. And it's super cool. And I'm not kidding. There have been times when I'll like roll over and open my eye and just in time to see a shooting star.
I know.
And then it causes you to stay awake because you think you're going to see another one, but you realize, no, honey, that was a special moment in time. But
yeah. Well, we have wonderful star meteor showers up here that you can see because it's so dark and because the altitude is high. That's helping also.
Right.
But we have just with the Leonid, the Perseid, we occasionally will have star parties during those times. Also, obviously you can't watch them with telescopes because they move so fast.
Sure.
But there are times when there can be hundreds of meteors in an hour just shooting across the sky. If you're in an overlit place, no matter where that is, you can't see them.
Yeah.
Up here, it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is.
Yeah.
So we've worked very hard. Our community has worked very hard. I mean, this has been an effort of a lot of wonderful and engaged people, both in Julian and from other places. When we have star parties, we have people from as far away as Los Angeles.
Sure, yeah.
Because certainly you can see nothing in the night sky in Los Angeles.
Right.
But they come up here and they're just thrilled.
Yeah.
And we're thrilled to have them.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how many star parties are you hoping that you can do in a year's time?
Well, in an average year, we could have as many as 8 or 10.
Okay, cool.
We can't have them in the winter because it's just too cold for us to
be outside. Well, and not only that, you get more cloudy skies. I mean, not that you can't get clouds in the summer, but you want to set yourself up for success.
Exactly. But we've done star parties like out at Santa Isabel West, where we had 150 children show up. November. Like, I don't have enough hot chocolate for everybody. But, you know, they got to hike, they got to listen to ghost stories, they got to look through the telescopes and the binoculars. Mm-hmm. The kids were just great, almost all from San Diego. And so we try and do them all spring, certainly all summer, and into the fall. November, mid-November is usually kind of our cutoff.
Okay.
But because of COVID,
Right.
We have been really limited
in
what we can
do.
We have done virtual star parties, mm-hmm. which are also available at on YouTube, on
Curiosity Peak
Observatory
mm-hmm.
on YouTube channel.
I've shared that a couple of times on our social media.
Good. Thank you. Because there's a lot of traction on those, mm-hmm. even after the parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the beauty of YouTube, mm-hmm. is that things live on. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of this interview. It's going to live on, and people will discover this dark sky through YouTube, through us, through all the other work that people do for a long time to come. We're planting seeds here.
Right.
And that's
exactly
what's really important.
And I also want to comment that Doug Solacy, our founder, and one of his proteges, a young mm-hmm. man named Vivek Vijayakumar, mm-hmm. who has become a superstar, pardon the pun, when it comes to
astronomy.
He is now studying at Princeton. He and Doug have worked together to do these virtual star parties, and they can be 50 miles apart, they can be hundreds of miles apart, because
right.
if you know how to use the technology, which I would add, I have no idea how to use
you
the
technology.
You just
get the benefits from it.
Just get the benefit. Mm-hmm. They have put on a number of these virtual star parties, so we have people from as far away as Oregon, mm-hmm. and some other farther places actually, who will come on while they're doing these virtual star parties mm-hmm. on YouTube, Curiosity Peak Observatory, and from people who are experienced and serious about their astronomy, mm-hmm. All the way to people like me who just want to ooh and ah
right.
and appreciate things I never understood or
right.
certainly haven't studied. It's a huge spectrum of people who can enjoy mm-hmm. and do enjoy participating in a virtual star party. So we'll continue to try and do some of those, and we'll just have to wait and see how the weather
and the weather.
yeah. And starting in the spring, but we really miss them.
So, social media. I know that you guys have a group on Facebook, and I will link to that in the show description as well. But it's something like the official
Julian
Dark Sky Network.
Exactly.
And so I'll link to that. And then what about Instagram? Do you know if there's an Instagram? Probably not.
I, who am a very low tech dinosaur.
Sure.
I do a good bit of the posting, but certainly not all of the
yeah.
posting on the official Julian Dark Sky Network
Facebook page. Okay.
I do not know how to use it.
Instagram. So I'll look and see if there's an Instagram, and if there is, I'll link to it. Now, to wind up.
We have a website.
Yes, I know, and I'll link to that as
okay.
well. And but the name of it is
JulianDarkSkyNetwork.com.
Is it .com? It's not .org. Okay.
Excuse me.
If someone wanted to join to be supportive of, you know, the mission, the star parties, the education, that sort of thing, how does one join? What does it take to be a member of the Julian Dark Sky Network?
Well, we have a scale of fees mm-hmm. that we use for all of our operation. We have a very slimmed down budget. Mm-hmm. We do things carefully. But go to the JulianDarkSkyNetwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
Website, and you can donate there
okay.
Securely
mm-hmm.
online. You can also see interesting articles, other information. You can buy merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
We have wonderful t-shirts, the End of Night book by Paul Bogard. We've got binoculars, which are very good for dark sky viewing,
mm-hmm.
And other things as they become available. And we have lots of brochures and materials about
the dark sky. And for those listening who visit Julian and might want to come into Town Hall, I have a supply of stickers for the Julian Dark Sky Network. They're $1, and we keep them here, and just bring in a buck or five and pick up five stickers. I'm looking at them right now over there on the wall.
Uh-huh.
So that's easy. You're cruising Main Street, stop in at Town Hall, and purchase for $1 the Julian Dark Sky Network
decal.
There
decal,
you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
So people love them.
Yeah.
So thank you, Robin.
No,
this
thank
has
you.
Been fun.
Yeah.
And I look forward to people coming back up in the spring and the summer, and hopefully being able to offer our wonderful star parties.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
Come and visit.
And then if we do have the opportunity in the coming years to do a Wonderfest, I'd love to do maybe even a panel interview so that those from the different organizations could chime in and talk about how wonderful Wonderfest is.
Yeah, and it's usually in August. Mm-hmm. This year they're hoping to have it, I think, on August 27th.
Those are fingers crossed. Yeah.
We have usually 40 different community animal groups, Vulcan Mountain Foundation, mm-hmm. the Solana Earth Group people. Mm-hmm. We have the Wolf Center. We have the canids, the foxes mm-hmm. come up. We have lots of wonderful activities for children. Stay posted because we also have a Facebook page for Julian.
For the Wonderfest, right. And there's a lot of info on visitjulian.com as well for the Wonderfest. So we'll save that for another time because that's an exciting interview all in itself.
Yes.
So thank you for coming in and spending some time talking with me and helping to spread further the word about the dark sky and how awesome it is. I feel super blessed to be a place where I take it for granted, and that's amazing that I just get to look up and see it. So
it's such a joy.
Yeah,
it really is.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you.